Hello, everyone. My name is Trang Nguyen. I lead the customer service center, and I'd like to extend a warm welcome to everyone, and thank you for joining us today on the Prioritization Draw webinar. Before we get started, just a few housekeeping items. This webinar is going to run 90 minutes. The first part is going to be a presentation, and then we will follow with the Q&A session. We'll try to keep the presentation part short and allow plenty of time for the questions at the end. Please note that we are recording this webinar, and the recording will be made available on the microsite on the page where the information for this webinar is found. The presentation deck for the webinar is also available on the same page. If you have questions, obviously we'll have a Q&A session at the end. And if you have questions, we ask that you either dial into the phone bridge and press star 1 to get into the queue for questions, or you can type your questions into the Q&A pod. We have two pods set up in the Adobe Connect room for you. One is for chat and one is for the Q&A. We ask that you reserve the Q&A pod just for questions and use the chat pod for chat. The U.S. toll-free number for the phone bridge for questions is 1-877-941-1227, and the U.S. toll number is 1-480-629-9656, and the access code is 4579584. We will be, during the Q&A session, we will be giving priority to those questions that are on the phone bridge. There's also a list of non-U.S. Phone numbers for the phone bridge that's available on the microsite. So with that, I'd like to introduce today's speaker, Christine Willett. Christine?
Good afternoon, everyone. Good evening to those of you around the world. We are going to be discussing today the prioritization draw, this exciting topic that has spurred many conversations and emails and questions to our customer service team. So hopefully we'll be able to address many of those questions today. The topics we're going to discuss, we'll start by talking about ticket sales. Then we'll move on to the logistics for the event itself. We'll give you some further background on the draw. And then we'll talk about designating representatives and proxies, which has been, I know, a focus of many questions. The team has put together a set of FAQs based on the questions we have been receiving. We have a set of FAQs published out on the microsite on the page for the prioritization draw itself. But I will be covering today some of the most frequently asked questions. And then we'll briefly discuss the impact of prioritization through initial evaluation and future phases of the new GTLD program. So if you want to save some of your questions until we go through the FAQs, or if you can multitask and you have interest in looking at the FAQs we've already published, we've got several dozen of them published out there. If you want to look at those, see if your answers get addressed, questions get addressed along the way, and then we'll take questions after the presentation. So I expect the presentation will be done within 30 minutes. So, ticket sales. Ticket sales will commence on Wednesday, December 12th, at the Hilton Hotel Los Angeles, alternatively referred to the LAX Hilton. It's by the airport. The ticket sales will occur in room Century CD on the second floor of the hotel. We will be selling tickets from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Wednesday through Sunday. And then on Monday, December 17th, we will also be selling tickets 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. The payment methods we are accepting, cash, cashiers or certified checks, traveler's checks, or credit cards. And checks must be made payable to ICANDRAW. So we strongly encourage you all to get your tickets in advance of the 17th. Please don't wait until the 17th to purchase your tickets, if at all possible. The ticket cutoff window at 11 a.m. will be adhered to. So if you are not in line at 11 a.m. on the 17th, you will not be allowed to participate and to purchase tickets. So we will be closing the entry to the line at that time. We'll be accepting multiple credit card formats, including Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Discover. We will not be accepting personal or company checks. Any checks must be certified or a cashier's check. Moving on to the draw event logistics. So it's going to operate much like an ICANN meeting event. It's being held December 17th, Monday, starting at 1 p.m. So from the cutoff of ticket sales at 11 a.m., we are anticipating that all applicants who are in line at 11 a.m., we will have those tickets sold and the drawing prepared to start at 1 p.m. Again, it will be held at the Hilton LAX, Los Angeles Airport. The event will be in the International Ballroom. The tickets for the event are $100 per ticket, and there is one ticket available per application only. We do have a small block of rooms reserved at the hotel, which are available on a first-come, first-served basis. And if you take a look at that same landing page, if you go to the new GTLD microsite and click on the prioritization draw page, there is a list of other live hotels as well. And there's a shuttle that runs to the airport, from the airport to the hotel every 15 minutes, 24 hours a day. So it is a very accessible location. Some of the specifics about the prioritization draw. So as you know, we are holding this draw to prioritize all new GTLD applications for those applicants who are interested in prioritization. The results of the draw will determine the order in which initial evaluation results are managed and released. We will not be holding back results. We will not be pulling anything back, but we will move towards initial evaluation completion based on these priority numbers that we are assigning on the 17th. These priority numbers will also be used as we process applications and move them through all the future phases of the new GTLD program. As originally proposed, IDN applications for which a ticket is purchased will be prioritized first. Those will be drawn first. Then all other non-IDN applications for which a ticket is purchased will be prioritized next. And then finally, we will prioritize all other applications, IDNs, and then all other applications for which tickets were not purchased will be prioritized after. So if you don't participate in the draw, your application's initial evaluation results will be posted behind those who did purchase a ticket and participate. And no, you are not allowed to trade priority numbers between applications or between applicants. There is no ability to trade places in line. Another subject of much discussion, representatives and proxies. So, to be clear, in order to purchase a ticket and participate in the draw, all applicants must designate a representative or a proxy. And I know we've had some confusion around this. Since, as applicants, you are entities, organizations, companies, governments, agencies, etc., not people applying.
Yeah.
The applicant is an entity. Therefore, applicant needs to designate either a representative or a proxy, and a representative is someone within the organization. A proxy is someone outside of the organization. To designate a representative or proxy of your own choosing, you must complete the representative proxy designation form. This is also available for download on the new GTLD prioritization drop page. If you are using the same representative or proxy for numerous applications, you may use the additional designation sheet that gives you those extra pages to fill in and identify that this is a representative or proxy for multiple applications. Finally, if you need assistance in identifying the proxy, ICANN has identified proxies for your use, and you can use one of these ICANN identified proxies by going to the ICANN identified proxy list. So we have, I want to say, 5 identified proxies that are on that list. So their contact information, phone numbers, email addresses are all on that ICANN identified proxy list. So let's segue to some of the FAQs. First, what address should be put on the representative proxy form? And I've got one here that I'm looking at. There are two sections, two addresses required on the form. The first section calls for applicant information. So again, the applicant is an entity. There is a primary contact name of the primary contact on the application. And the address in the applicant information section should be the address of the applicant, the entity or organization address, the business address. In the second section, in the representative proxy information section, the name is the name of the representative or proxy person, and then the address should be the address used on, it must match the address on the government-issued ID that the proxy or representative is bringing with them when purchasing the tickets. The next question, who should sign or initial the proxy form? So the primary contact is the person who should be completing this form. It is their sole responsibility that all the fields are filled in correctly. It is the primary contact with whom ICANN is committed to communicate with. So it's their initials, it's their signature, they're the individual who should be completing the form. Next question, is the original signed proxy form required or will an emailed electronic copy suffice? So as long as the form is signed and it is initialed, a printed copy or an electronic version of the form will be acceptable, a fax printed copy form. We're recommending that you double, even triple check this form, because if there are any discrepancies between the information on the form and the information we have in our system that we're matching it against, the representative or proxy will not be allowed to purchase a ticket. Going on to the next slide, how can applicants pay the ICANN identified proxy? So applicants are not expected to pay the ICANN identified proxy for their services as proxy, but it is the applicant's responsibility to contact the proxy and arrange payment for the ticket purchase. So you don't have to pay the proxy for their services to be provided, but if they are purchasing one ticket, you'll have to arrange payment for the $100 ticket. If they are buying 20 tickets for you, you will need to arrange payment for those 20 tickets and any related fees, for instance, wire transfer fees, et cetera. That's for you to work out with your proxy and to determine an appropriate payment mechanism between yourself and the proxy. So I want to be also clear, the ICANN identify proxies will not be required to perform proxy services for anyone who contacts them after the 14th of December. So the anyone who has not contacted the proxy and completed the transfer of funds for the ticket purchase to the identified ICANN identify proxy on or before the 14th of December, they will not be required to perform services for. So this is between you and the proxies to work out and make happen. What do I need to bring with me in order to purchase a ticket? So that would assume that you're the representative or the proxy if you're coming. And in order to purchase a ticket, you must bring with you a government-issued photo ID that includes the name and address and or passport number, which is identical to the information on that representative proxy designation form. You also need to bring in the completed designation form, which includes the application ID, the apply for string, and the unique prioritization draw code, that token number or code that we provided via email to all applicants. So if you do not have these two pieces of information with you, you will not be able to purchase a ticket. The form is the form. If there are any discrepancies between the information on the form and the records that we have, you won't be able to purchase a ticket. We would ask, we realize people will be coming from all over the world, but we would ask where possible, if there is identification that is in a non-Latin script, a different character set that we may have difficulty reading here. If you also have a Latin script on that ID, if you could also include that on the form, again, to enable us to match the form, the representative proxy form, to the ID that you're bringing with you. That would be much appreciated. If there's a mistake filling out the form, please redo the form. Please fill it out. Start again. It is only one page. We will be accepting initial changes. However, it will expedite things if we can have clean, clearly executed forms. I see that we're getting a number of questions, and just to reiterate, we're going to go through all of the FAQs, and then we'll be taking questions from the pod. So the next FAQ, can I pay with a personal or company check? No, personal checks, company checks, and any other non-certified check will not be accepted. If you pay by check, it must be a cashier's check, a certified check, or a traveler's check made payable to ICANN-DRAW. Other forms of payments that we, as I said, include cash and credit card, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Discover. All forms of payment will be in U.S. dollars only. So I anticipate I'm going to get some questions about certified checks. A certified check is certified by your bank. It will include a certification which is evidenced through a bank stamp. Can I watch the draw online? Yes, you'll be able to watch the draw online live through the new GTLD microsite. We'll have an Adobe Connect room set up, and a link to that live presentation will be posted on the homepage of the site as well as on the landing page the day of the draw. So you'll be able to go there to get that information. What will tickets be pulled from? We are printing paper tickets. All tickets will be pulled from raffle bins, a big drum that gets spun, and we've got an independent third party who will be putting their arm in the bin to draw tickets. We're estimating that to pull 1,900 plus tickets will take us approximately 8 hours. We will have the Adobe Connect room broadcasting through the duration of that draw. We intend to have the final prioritization data, the full set, posted to the new GTLD application posting page within 24 hours of the completion of the event and once the results have been certified. So we're anticipating it will take at least 8 hours. We are also allowing for additional time. So since we start at 1 p.m., we're anticipating a late night. Moving on to the next slide. The process of prioritization from the prioritization draw through to contract signing. So this is a slide that was presented in Toronto. So we're holding the prioritization draw on the 17th of December. As previously discussed, we are extending the objection period to 13 March of 2013. That should say, that's an error on the slide, that should say 2013. And we will begin posting initial evaluation results on the 23rd of March, also should read 2013. So we will be publishing initial evaluation results in prioritization order. But it's not just a matter of publication of the results. As soon as the prioritization draw is complete, we will be managing our operational evaluation work using the prioritization numbers. So after initial evaluation, if applications have objections or are in contention, or if initial evaluation fails, they will move to a resolution process. If they have no objections, contentions, and if they pass initial evaluation, they will move on, and they'll be able to accept the standard a standard registry agreement. If that standard agreement is not accepted, they will move to a negotiation queue. If they do accept the a standard agreement, then we will move them to the queue for pre-delegation testing. As we release groups of initial evaluation results and move to pre-delegation testing, those pre-delegation tests will be available for scheduling based on your priority number. Once the pre-delegation testing is complete, you all know we've got the Beijing meeting in April. And after the Beijing meeting and once we have favorable pre-delegation testing, those applicants will move on to contract signing. And ICANN will be signing agreements, again, in a priority order that have flowed through the queue, and those signed contracts and applicants will then be able to transition to IANA. So the reason for all of this as we spoke in Toronto and then last month, is really to allow us to move forward with the program at a controlled and measured pace, and also to focus our evaluation efforts and all subsequent phases of work to focus our efforts. The objection period is being extended, and we'll close now with the 13 March 2013 date. Will be 9 months after the publication date. To be clear, we are releasing initial evaluation results for IDNs first, at least for those IDNs for whom for which tickets have been purchased. And that is really to underscore ICANN's commitment to both global public interest as well as international outreach. And to be clear, contract signing and delegation will occur after the Beijing meeting. Moving on, I think as it here, I've got the 2013 dates. So the release of IE results, we're going to start by releasing 30 results per week, and the intention is to ramp up to release 150 IE results per week. After that, again, the IDNs for which tickets have been purchased will go first and will be prioritized. And initial evaluation, which have passed initial evaluation and are free of the objections and contentions, will be able to progress immediately to the subsequent steps. All of this information and many more details, FAQs, are available on the prioritization draw landing page, newgtlds.icann.org/draw. Let's see. So I think that is the end of my presentation. I know we've received a number of questions here, so we will be moving into a question and answer phase here. Frank?
Yes, so we'll start with the Q&A session. We're going to, just so you know, we're going to give priority to anybody who phones in with the questions, but since I don't see anyone in the queue on the phone at this time, we'll move on to questions that have been submitted in the chat room. So, Kristen, I'll just read the questions out to you, and then we'll figure out and we'll get the answers. This question is from Craig. When will ICANN post a summary and analysis of the results of the public comment period on the draw plan?
We will be posting the summary and analysis by the end of next week. That's been completed. The public with the ICANN board, and they are in support of us moving forward with this plan.
Great, thank you. The next question is from Ching. For IDN applicants, are they still eligible to participate in the draw, given they will be given a priority to go first in the process?
Absolutely. So, in fact, we encourage IDN applicants to participate in the draw. In order to be prioritized at the beginning of the queue, you must purchase a ticket. That goes for IDN applicants as well as other applicants. So those IDN applicants who are interested in priority and timing should purchase tickets. If you are not interested in the priority, you don't have that same sense of urgency, then purchasing a ticket is not necessary for you, which by not purchasing a ticket, you would effectively opt out. But if you want to opt in, you want to be prioritized more highly, then IDS, as with all applicants, needs to purchase a ticket.
Thank you. The next question comes from Liz Williams. The block of rooms with the special rate have already been allocated, can more rooms be allocated with the special code?
You know, that's something we can look into, and we can update the landing page with more information. We will definitely look into that. Thank you.
Next question from Celia Blue. Can you pay for more than one application with one certified check?
Yes. The answer to that is yes. You can have one form of payment, certified check, credit card, traveler's check, etc., which covers more than one application. That is correct.
Okay. The next question is from Jim Prendergast. What method would be used to order those applications that do not purchase a ticket?
Good question. We will be modeling our substantive priority for those applications which do not have tickets purchased in the same way we prioritize the IDNs and other purchase tickets. So we will have a first drawing. The first set of tickets drawn will be the IDNs who have purchased tickets. The next drawing, the next set of tickets drawn, will be applications for whom tickets have been purchased. The third set of tickets, which will be drawn, will be for IDN applicants which have not purchased tickets. And the final set will be the applications for which tickets were not purchased. So it's a four-step process. And we will be using the same methodology. We will take the unpurchased tickets, put them in a bin, do the same drawing, use the same drawing method. Our expectation is that we will draw those tickets on the same day, on the 17th, but we are reserving the right to draw those tickets at a later date if, for some reason, the draw is taking excessively long.
Thank you. Next question from Christopher Niemi. I know you can receive a receipt per transaction, but on a bulk purchase, will individual receipts by application be provided?
It is our intention to give one receipt for the entire bulk purchase. So if you want to purchase 30 tickets with one credit card transaction for $3,000, then you will get a receipt for that $3,000 transaction. If you want to purchase 10 tickets and get a receipt, and then 15 tickets and get a receipt, and then 5 tickets and get a receipt, you can do that. You can split it up across multiple transactions, as many transactions as you need for those groupings of receipts. But if you have one check, you will get one receipt for that transaction.
Next question from Maxim. Is it possible to have something like FAQ for proxy form?
So there are, within the FAQ out on the landing page, we actually have, I would guess, 24 questions and answers specifically for proxy. So there is a large section of questions and answers for the proxy form itself.
Next question is from Kim Hansen. I know you covered this earlier in the presentation, Christine, but maybe you can clarify a little bit further. This question is, so even if you are the primary contact in the application, you still must have a proxy form, correct?
Yes, that is correct. So in so much as the applicant is an entity and not a person, we need the, and the applicant is represented by a primary contact, we still need the applicant and the primary contact of that applicant to fill out the form and designate, even if you're designating yourself on the form. So if you are the applicant, you are the primary contact, you would designate yourself and bring that form.
Thank you. This one is from Reg. The representative proxy form says passport number or address, but you're saying that the address must be included in the addition?
No, I think perhaps I misspoke. It's the address or the passport number.
Thank you. Next question from Sigmar. The form asks for either an address or ID for the proxy. Do we need both?
So, no. So, again, I think this relates to the same earlier question. It's the address or the identification, the number. So in the form of a passport being the identification, it would be the passport number. If it were some other government-issued ID, such as a driver's license, it would be the driver's license number.
So the next question is from Ken Stubbs, and it's somewhat related to the subject that we're talking about. What happens if the ID used is a passport?
So I think we've addressed that. If the passport is used as the identification, then the passport number is used. I'm looking at the form in front of me right now. So the name, just to expand on the question about the passport, if the passport is used, again, the name must match that identification. The passport number needs to be included on the identification form.
Thanks, Christine. Next question from Lucas Val. Passports do not have addresses. Can we read Japanese addresses?
No, I cannot read a Japanese address, for sure. So I'm so sorry. The address is for other government-issued IDs, like a driver's license. If you are providing a passport number, then we don't need the address. It is an either-or situation.
Thank you. Next question from Henry Chan. The ICANN identify proxies that no address will be needed for the proxy. Is that correct?
So, again, it is either the passport number or the address on the proxy form. So that is correct.
Even if it's the ICANN identify proxy? Next question from Harriet. As the presenter is making, let me see if this is actually a question or it's a comment. That's actually a comment. Next question is from Maxim. How ICANN is going to verify signature of the primary contact that was not in the application?
We will have representatives using judgment that to verify that the document was signed. You're correct. We do not have a signature verification card. But it is something we will be checking against, that there is some visual similarity. No pun intended. Sorry.
Thank you. The next question is from Jeff Newman. We have a lot of similar type of questions, so I'm going to try to just move on. The next question from Jeff Newman is, and or passport number, I think we've addressed that, but yes, it can just be a passport number. Question from Paul at Dot Amsterdam. How can I, as an applicant, confirm that a ticket has been bought or not by a proxy on my behalf and in time for me to adjust that situation?
So, again, the applicant, as applicants, you need to coordinate that relationship with your proxy, whether it is your own identified representative or proxy or the ICANN identified proxy. So you need to be coordinating with your representative or proxy to confirm that the tickets have been purchased.
Interesting. Next question is from Liz Williams. Would the severe glitches in the ICANN technical system be fixed and enable all applicants to get their door paid? This is a serious breach of customer service standards and is still not resolved. So I can address that. We are aware of a couple of issues that we're working with on the on fixing on the technical side for access to the CSC portal. We are only at this time aware of two applicants that are affected by that issue, and we're trying to work with them on alternative methods of getting the door code. We're not aware of any other major issues relating to getting access to the CSC portal. Just a reminder that the primary contact is the only person that can that would have the credentials to gain access to the portal. So, we would have several situations where someone other than the primary contact is contacting us with requests for gaining access to the portal. And just as a reminder that the only person that can gain access to the portal is the primary contact. Next question from Elizabeth Finberg. For IDM applicants, is it okay to use the A label on the form?
I am so sorry. I'm looking at my team here. I don't know what A label means. Trang, is that something you know what A label refers to? You know what? I think I'm going to have to let us do some research on that, and we will post an update. We can add that to the FAQs after the webinar. So sorry about that.
Next question from Peter. Sorry, does the representative need to be in possession of the regional designation form, or is a fax PDF scan also valid?
Yes, a fax scanned version of the document is sufficient. It does need to be printed. It does need to be on paper. We can't read your cell phone. If you do have a, it doesn't have to be an original printed and signed copy. Let's see. I see a couple of other questions here. Craig asks, look forward to hearing how the actual draw will occur. Presume that will come later. So we've talked about how the method of tickets will be detaching the ticket portion of the it's a three-part form. The ticket portion will go into the bin. That's what will be drawn through the raffle.
Yes, thank you, Christine. Just looking at the A label and the U label piece. The next question is from Chris Jansen. What if the primary and secondary contacts for an application are no longer available and a change request has not been processed?
So, unfortunately, we've had this situation crop up in the last several months. As one might expect, organizational changes have occurred. The primary and secondary contacts are no longer available. So, a change request for new primary and secondary contacts needs to be initiated through our customer service center. However, we have a specific process. Typically, it is to promote the secondary contact or primary contact. But if both have left, then we have an exception, a secondary process that we can follow. Trang, can you describe that additional process?
Yes. So in the cases where both the primary and the secondary contact have left the organization, what we require is that the person that submit the change request send to us a letter signed by an officer of the applying entity asserting that the primary and secondary contact have left and appointing the new primary and secondary contact to the application. And just to add on to what Christine was just saying, we have processed approximately 16 or 17 primary contact change requests, yesterday. So we'll be pushing those out to applicants today. So that takes care of the majority of all of the primary contact change requests that we currently have in our system.
So we recognize that the primary contact changes are critical and a priority. So we have focused resources to address any additional requests that are coming up. We're also experiencing a high volume of password reset issues, folks getting onto the system, new in just the last week or two. So we are working through that, and we do have resources focused on expediting, especially these primary and secondary contact changes and the password reset issues, because we do recognize that you are all working to get your codes, your tokens, for the prioritization draw. So it is a priority for us.
Next question, Amanda from the Registry. In what order do all applicants draw? I think you touched on that a little earlier.
Yes, I think we've discussed that, the four-step process.
Next question from Ching. Can ICANN publish a sample of the draw ticket on the new GTLD microsite?
You know what, we will not be publishing that. We are making sure that the format of the ticket is secure, so we will not be publishing the example of the draw ticket prior to the event.
Next question from Jim Prendergast. Is March 13 closing of objection deadline confirmed by the board, or is it still proposed?
It's been discussed with the board. We are proceeding with their support. So, yes, the objection period has been extended to the 13th of March. Sorry, 13th of March.
Next question from Dietmar. Are IBM going to be getting preference, as mentioned before this presentation? I think we've covered that.
I think we're having some difficulty filtering through many of the comments versus the questions in the bottom section.
Yes. The next question is from Jim. Where is GAC advice fit in this flow chart?
Yes, I think you're referring to the flow chart that a couple of slides from the end. One more. Yeah. So GAC advice. Based on the last GAC communique, they stated that they would be publishing their GAC advice around the Beijing meeting. So it will be before, after, during the Beijing meeting. So we will be looking for that GAC advice before we execute contracts and transition applicants to IANA.
Interesting. Next question from Tim Switzer. Given NTIA IANA verifying all that the REIT can accept delegation at 100 per week, is ICANN gearing up its contract and pre-delegation staff to keep up that pace?
So that is an issue beyond just the new GTLD program and the pace. The ultimate action pace is a separate issue that this program is not addressing. I'm confident that we will have a more than adequate pace of publishing results to no matter what the ultimate delegation minimum maximums are.
Thank you. Next question from Maxim Titid. What is the reason for IDNs first if almost all IDNs are going to get stuck in contract negotiations?
I don't know that that's necessarily the case. We are still seeking to support the service of international goals by enabling the IDN streams as much as possible. That is a goal that we are supporting through the program.
Next question from Duma 2. What's the bad negotiations period? I think contract can't be acceptable.
There will be a process in place for applicants who do not find the registry agreement acceptable. So you will be able to get into a queue, which will be managed by priority, and negotiate through the ICANN legal team the terms that you are seeking.
Thank you. Next question from Sherry Falco, ICM Registry. If an applicant draws a number, say, for example, 100, but isn't ready for a while for contract negotiation and whatnot, and by the time they are ready, the queue is at 500, for example, does that applicant with a draw number of 100 get first in queue for the next appointment, even if the queue is being processed at in the 500?
So the thinking at this moment is that for all future activity that is already in progress, so if pre-delegation appointments have already been set for those first 500 applicants, then the application number 100 will be able to make an appointment for the next available pre-delegation testing time, for instance, that may be after all 500, or there may be other testing appointments available interstitially there. The same would go for the negotiation queue. So processing will occur as sets of results are published and as applicants are ready. So if you can get through the contracting process and then you want to postpone your pre-delegation testing for a month or two or 3 months, you can push that pre-delegation testing appointment out. You will not be obligated to move to that in, say, the next week or the earliest available appointment.
Thanks, Christine. Next question from that gal, GAL. Will the IDNs be the only group who will have priority? What about GAC recommendations?
So we've... GAC recommendations, public comments, various other input have all been considered in the program, and the agreement is that we are going to be prioritizing the IDNs ahead of all other applicants, but to that extent, any applicant who seeks priority is able to purchase a ticket.
Thank you. Next question from Vladimir. When do you expect spring contention evaluation results to be published?
The last webinar last month, I discussed that we were working to publish those results this month in December. I have to say, as I mentioned in that same webinar, we have two phases of spring similarity evaluation, and we have preliminary results from one panel, but we do not have final, and the second panel work is not complete. So although I'm not intending this to be a complete update on the program and a status report, at this time I don't know that I will be able to publish all spring contention sets in December. Again, I think the focus is that we are operationally, we are working to be as aggressive as possible, but we also want to ensure quality. So I am not trying to rush a process. I'm trying to get the best and most accurate results possible. So as soon as the results are ready, trust me, we will be publishing them.
Thank you. Next question from Jeff Newman. Just to be crystal clear, a non-IBM application that purchased a ticket with a priority over IBM's for which no tickets have been purchased. This will apply throughout the process, right?
Yes, Jeff, that is correct. So all applications for which tickets are purchased will be prioritized ahead of all applications for which tickets are not purchased. That is correct.
Next question from, I'm sorry if I don't pronounce your name correctly, Tunisia. Do the phone number and email in the designation form refer to the applicant's phone and email or the primary contact one?
Okay, so the phone number, again, on the proxy representative designation form, the first field is the applicant name, that is the entity. The second field is primary contact, that is primary a person's name. The address is the third field, that is the address of the entity. The phone number is the business phone number of the entity. And the email is the primary contact of the, it is the email of the primary contact. So I think that's, answers that question.
Thank you. I'm skipping ahead a little bit, and I'll come back. Next question from Sushi on Endo. Chat room moves on me, so I apologize. I just lost my place. Okay, I'm going to come back to your question, Endo. Next question from Jordan Buchanan. If IE results won't be held up based on the prioritization number, wouldn't we expect some non-IBM results to also be published early on and for a large number of IE results to be published early on due to the IE having been completed prior to the prioritization being put in place?
Okay, so I'm trying to make sure I understand the question. The question is about I've lost the question. Trying, I'm sorry. Could you repeat that for me? I do apologize.
Yes. Well, let me.
You know,
Jordan,
we're
going to come back to your question,
yeah.
If that's all right, and then we're going to move forward to another question.
Yeah, I actually asked, could you give us just a few seconds here? I think perhaps something is changing in the question pod. If you'd hold on momentarily. Thank you.
Apologize for that. So here's Jordan's question once more time. If IE results won't be held up based on the prioritization number, would we expect some non-IBM results to also be published early on? And for a larger number of IE results to be published early on due to the IE having been completed prior to the prioritization being put in place.
So initial evaluation has not been completed. Again, we've got multiple panels, results that we're trying to coordinate across multiple panels. So no, we don't have IE results available. What I would say is, no, we have no intention of holding back results. We have a process that we will be following, not only the panel evaluation results, which must be completed. Those need to be synthesized. There is a review process within ICANN. Our entire process must be executed before we can publish results. And it is that complete process that we will be following and executing to based on the prioritization. So, yes, at a rate of 30 a week, quickly ramping to 100 and 150 per week, yes, within a month we will have several hundred results published. So we do anticipate to have more than IDN's IE results published within a month.
Thank you. Next question from Marlene McDonald. I'm concerned if something stops my proxy from buying the ticket and I would not have time to send another person to purchase a ticket. Is there a possibility of the proxy failing his work?
So if this is a proxy which you've identified, then as an applicant, you'll need to coordinate and ensure that your proxy executes the ticket purchase according to your specifications. If this is an ICANN-designated proxy, which is contacted and which they have all of the funds that have been transferred to them by the 14th on Friday, then and the forms are complete, the funds transfer is complete, then you can have an expectation that that proxy will complete the ticket purchase on your behalf.
Thanks, Christine. Mm-hmm. So going back to some of the questions that we skipped earlier on, can you please explain the procedure for applicants that wish to opt out?
Sure. The procedure for opting out is simply to not purchase a ticket. If you are not interested and you don't have a sense of urgency about prioritization, by not purchasing a ticket, your application will automatically be prioritized behind all applicants which have purchased a ticket.
Thanks, Christine. I skipped one question from Dima, too. How do you plan to take in attention national legislation issues?
You know what, I would, I'd be happy to address that further, but I'm looking for a little more information. If you could send a full question to the Customer Service Center, and we'd be happy to address it that way. Thank you.
This is next question is from Richard Schreier. What happens in a contention set when one applicant draws a low number and another applicant draws a high number? Presumably, the applicant with the low number will have to wait for the IE results of the applicant with the high number, which would happen much later in the process. Is that correct?
So they're in the same contention set? Yes. So as per the guidebook, applicants within the contention set will not be able to progress to the next phase, contracting, pre-delegation testing, et cetera, until all members of the contention set are out of evaluation, objections are cleared, and contentions are resolved. So the contentions have to be resolved prior to the single application proceeding to the future phases.
Thank you. Next question from Gerardo. Can you explain the ramp up to 150 per week? How gradual is this 30, 50, 100? Are increments expected weekly? Is the 150 the amount expected for the last week?
So the ramp up is planned to be gradual. The increments, yes, we are intending to release results on a weekly basis in a batching method, and those results will be released on a weekly basis. I'm anticipating a measured and metered approach, 30, 50, 100, 150, so it may take us a few weeks. If we are able to expedite that process as we all get more efficient, you know, this is an operational procedure we want to execute flawlessly, then we need to begin with a measured approach and then move to that target pace of 150 per week. The last week, we anticipate keeping up with that pace of 150 through the end of the initial evaluation results, although the last grouping may be less than 150 as we complete the results publication.
Thank you. Next question from Anil Kumar. Are there any changes to the draw process based on the public comments?
So all of the public comments were evaluated and analyzed and considered. In the end, we did determine that we needed to proceed with the draw as originally proposed, but all of those public comments were most definitely considered.
Thank you. Next question is from Amy, and I think you addressed this question earlier. In an earlier webinar, you said that it was possible ICANN would post contention sets before the draw. What is the status on that? I think you touched on that. So we're going to move on to the next question from Marlene. If I'm using a proxy, what's the guarantee that my tickets are going to be purchased? Is there any documents I will receive? Again, I think you covered that earlier. Another question from Endo. Let me confirm, to prioritize the application, no need to attend the drawing event on the 17th once the applicant purchased the tickets in advance. Is that correct?
That is correct. So once your tickets are purchased, they will be prioritized. Neither you nor your proxy or representative or your primary contact, no one must attend the prioritization draw on the 17th once the tickets are purchased.
Thank you. Next question is from Harriet. What is the contingency if, because of force majeure, credit card payment system goes offline?
So we have multiple methods of payment, which we are accepting. We also are selling tickets, and tickets are available for purchase 5 days prior to the draw, and that is why we are encouraging all applicants to purchase tickets in advance, sooner rather than later, so that if there is any issues with the form, with the identification of your representative or proxy, any issues with payment methods, etc., that all of those have time to be resolved prior to Monday the 17th.
Thank you. Next question from Janik Skew. What if the primary contact person of the application is an outside counsel? Can this primary contact still sign a proxy form on behalf of the applicant's entity?
So if the primary contact is the person who has been designated as the responsible party for the application, so whether that is an employee of an outside firm, be it a law firm, etc., then that is the primary contact. So they do have the authority to act on behalf of the applicant. So, yes, they do. That is correct.
Thank you. This next question, I think you touched on it before, but maybe we can provide some clarification. It's from Jill. The proxy form states passport number or address. It does state driver's license. Is this required on the proxy?
So, to clarify, if it is passport number or address, addresses are not on passports. So if you are providing some other form of government-issued ID, we would be verifying and validating that address against that other form of government-issued ID. So that is why it is either the passport number or the address.
Thank you. Next question from Jasmine Omar, and this is the question that we had skipped over earlier, too. Does the A-label need to be provided on the proxy form for IDN applications? And I looked into this a little bit more, and I believe that what we want on the form is the U-label of the string and not the A-label. Next question from Christopher Niemi. Can I post some examples of properly filled out proxy forms that cover different scenarios?
That's something we can consider. Let me take that offline, Christopher, and we'll see if we can do something and publish that as part of the FAQs. That will be of assistance. Thank you.
Next question from Katrine. Will the complete prioritization be published within 24 hours, including the opt-out?
So the intention is if we are able to, and we do proceed by prioritizing all applicants, those opted in through ticket purchase as well as those opted out, if we do complete the drawing that day, then, yes, they will all be published within 24 hours of the end and completion of the draw. If we determine, as we are reserving the right to defer the raffle selection, ticket selection of the opted-out applicants, then we will publish results in two phases. First, we would publish the results of of all of the opted-in applicants that we complete the drawing on the 17th. Once those are complete and certified, those will be published. And then if at a future date we prioritize the other applicants, those would be published within 24 hours of that scenario. It is our significant desire to complete all of the drawings on the 17th.
Thank you. Next question is from Maxim. One of the usual ways to verify that the person is acting on behalf of the company is power of attorney letter. Why don't we use it?
So the representative proxy designation form is, it's not a power of attorney, but it is in fact an alternate way to designate that an individual has that limited authority to purchase tickets.
Thank you. Next question from Henry is, will ICANN have printer scanning facilities available at the drawing venue?
This is a hotel, so the hotel may have printing and scanning facilities. ICANN will not have those facilities available to applicants.
Thank you. Next question from Donna Austin, which I believe we have already answered. Will IDN be the only category of prioritization for the draw? The answer is yes. Next question from Trent Harvey. How will the ticket be identified from one another? For example, is the application number on it?
Yes. So many, many hours have gone into the design of the tickets themselves and into the methodology for the draw. So the ticket will include the application number on it. It will also include the applicant name, string, as well as the raffle ticket number. So, yes, we will, when we draw that ticket out of the raffle drum, we will know with certainty whose ticket it is.
Next question from Tim Switzer. Based on all community input, are the final draw rules completely set, or is new news coming?
I can appreciate where that's coming from. These are the final rules of the draw. At this time, any further changes to the drawing would create such risk, operational risk, execution risk, that we would not be able to proceed. So no further changes are forthcoming.
Thank you. Next question from Peter Green. Do we have to complete a representative form by our secondary contact with the signature of our primary contact? I think we covered it.
So, yeah, I think we've addressed this. If the secondary contact is the representative who will be purchasing a ticket, yes. Now, this may not be obvious, but I stated this previously. If it is the primary contact who is purchasing the ticket, you have to fill out, it is the primary contact who has to fill out the representative form for themselves. So whether you're designating your primary contact, your contact yourself, or your secondary contact, a form needs to be filled out for all applicants purchasing tickets.
Thanks, Christina. Related to that, there's a question about can the secondary contact sign the prioritization draw representative form, or must it be the primary contact?
So it must be the primary contact, and that is who is authorized to act on the applicant's behalf. That is also why we discussed earlier, if those primary contacts are no longer available or with the applicant, we are processing change requests to promote secondary contacts to primary, et cetera, or make changes to contact information for applicants. And we do have resources dedicated to expediting that this week.
Thanks, Christine. Next question from Trent Harvey. When are the CQ advisories being released? We're ready late on that.
So we've got two advisories coming out today, tomorrow. We've got two more advisories coming out shortly. I'd say certainly by next week, if not sooner. Thank you for keeping us on our toes.
Next question from Peter Green. What is the order of buying tickets? What is the order of picking the draw, and what's the difference?
So I think we've covered the order of the draw sufficiently. In terms of taking tickets, so we have space on the second floor of the hotel reserved with plenty of seating. Tickets will be sold on a first-come, first-served basis. But there is only one ticket per application, so it will be there for you. We will not be running out of tickets. So again, we're encouraging everyone to come early and purchase your tickets in advance. We'll have multiple resources validating at every step of the way, validating the proxy and designation forms, executing the ticket transaction, sale transactions themselves. So we will have significant resources there dedicated to expedite the process.
Thank you. I'm looking through these. All these are not necessarily questions. The next one is from Jeff Smith, who determined the IDN priority. What happened to community priority, and as has been published and emphasized in the AGB?
So the ICANN staff, with the understanding and acknowledgement of the board, has determined the prioritization of IDN to best serve the public interest. So that is that was the decision made.
Thank you. Question from Christina. Have all geographic name CQs been issued?
The majority of clarifying questions for geographic applications have been issued, but we do have a handful more, which will be our panels are working on, which will be released shortly.
Thank you. Next question from Dima too. What's about when IDN aligned to non-IDN?
I think this is referring to an IDN string and a non-IDN string, which are paired related. So those are two separate applications, and they will be prioritized independently.
Thank you. Next question from Michael. In terms of pre-delegation testing, if an applicant has an earlier priority number, goes through pre-del testing, and does not pass initially, what order would it be put back in once they've addressed any concerns identified by the pre-del tester?
So if a if the issue takes beyond that pre-delegation testing window, which is currently scheduled to be a week, if the issue is not resolved within that week of the pre-delegation test schedule, then the applicant will be put back in the queue based on their priority number and will be able to schedule the next available appointment for pre-delegation testing. But if a week has passed, if 3 weeks have passed, it could be 150 applicants have already elected pre-delegation testing appointments. So, yes, you may be behind other applicants who have scheduled pre-delegation testing appointments in that week.
Thank you. Next question from Craig. So some contention sets are published in December or none until all work is complete?
No, we will not be publishing any contention sets until all work is complete. It's not an evaluation that can be separated. So in order to ensure quality and accuracy, we'll be publishing all of those together as soon as possible.
Sorry, next question from Krista Pepek. Krista, understood that it's the address, phone, and email for the applicant entity. To be clear, are you saying it's the address, phone, and email address of the applicant entity as it appears in TAS?
Yes, that is correct.
Krista, just to add to that, it's the address and phone number of the upline entity and the email address of the primary contact, because if you recall, we do not collect the email address of the upline entity in TAS.
So we have 6 minutes left here, I believe. So, Frank, if you would scan the remaining questions, see if we have any unique previously unaddressed questions.
Okay, see one from Dima 2 that said, I tried to call and ask about our issue at Moscow and at Moskva. The call was dropped immediately. I don't know if you can check with the phone provider to make sure there's no issues, because I don't see anyone on the phone bridge.
I apologize that we had that issue. We'll address the phone bridge issue as soon as possible. We'll try to get that resolved before the end of our time here.
So I think these are some follow-up questions on the question that was just asked. To clarify, how will ICANN deal with applicants of GOTODs that have applied for both an IDN and an ASCII version of the TOD? Is it realistic to expect to have the IDN launched separately from the ASCII version?
So we will be evaluating, we are evaluating both applications independently, and the results will be released based on priority number. it will be up to the applicant to determine if it makes sense to proceed to delegation and work with IANA towards delegation independently or wait until both applications and you have two signed registry agreements and you wish to proceed. So that will be up to the applicant to determine.
Thanks, Christine. So this is a follow-up to clarify one of the questions and contention sets. So if one application in the contention set received an earlier draw number and another received a later draw number, does the entire contention set progress to the end of IE based on the earlier draw number or based on the later draw number?
So to be clear, IE results will be processed in this priority order. So if you have a contention set with number 200, number 800, and number 1900, and you're all in contention, yes, you will wait to proceed, assuming there are no objections, although you can work offline amongst yourselves to resolve your contention. Progressing towards other phases through the new GTLD program will wait until all three applications have been evaluated through not only initial evaluation, or if one of the applications must proceed to extended evaluation, then you would be waiting for that application to complete and resolve extended evaluation. That as per the guidebook.
Thank you. We only have a few more minutes, so I'll try to go through the remainder of the questions quickly here. A question from Roger Carney. The current AGB describes pre-delegation testing is to occur post-registry agreement execution. Can you confirm that this is being changed? And will a new AGB be coming out soon?
So this was addressed in Toronto specifically because we are trying to expedite the IE results ahead of as quickly as possible. So this is dependent on the Beijing meeting and the GAC advice. After the Beijing meeting and after the GAC advice is complete, we do anticipate moving back to the process as stated in the guidebook, this exception to the process and this intention to move ahead to pre-delegation testing in advance of the executed registry agreement is for the purposes of expediting the course ultimately to ultimate delegation. But it will be changed back after Beijing and GAC advice is completed.
Thank you. Question 15. Is the number of the draw ticket visible, or do we need a coin to scratch it?
The draw number, the ticket number will be visible. There will be nothing to scratch.
Question from .gal. When can applicants expect to receive CQs regarding technical and financial questions?
We will begin releasing clarifying questions for the financial, technical, registry panels in January. So those you can begin to see those in January.
Thank you. Question from Gerardo. If an applicant has, for example, number 40 and another one has number 400 and 400 withdraws, will 40 advance automatically to the next phase, or will 40 have to wait for the 400 slot? I'm assuming this is within a contention set.
I'm assuming it's within the contention set. So if 400 withdraws and those are the only two in your contention set, then 40 is no longer has contention and they would proceed forward without contention. That's correct.
So there's a question about exactly how the draw would be conducted, one bin or four bins. I think we talked about that.
follow-up question from Michael with regards to pre-delegation testing. You say it has to be addressed within the week of testing. I assume the pre-del provider would then only take 1 to 2 days to conduct the testing, which gives us 3 days to resolve. If not, and they identify the issue on the 4th or 5th day, then this leaves us no time to resolve. What happens then?
So as we get into the new year, the new calendar year, we will be able to have more detail about the pre-delegation testing and the exact operational nature and how you'll be working with the pre-delegation testing team. So we'll be able to give you more insights to the specific process that they'll be following as we get closer to the pre-delegation testing period kicking off.
We have a question from Celia Blue. What if the year label in the apply for string field does not fit in the field provided on the prioritization form?
Then you should use, we have additional pages available. The additional designation sheet can be used. I know it is a form, the PDF form, so if there is a sizing issue and you are still having challenges, please contact the CSC and we will do our best to address that with you. We don't want the form to be an issue for you.
So Jasmine said that her question regarding how exactly the draw will be conducted was not addressed. So her original question was, how exactly would the draw be conducted? Would it be 4+1 raffle bins or 1+1 raffle bins?
I'm not sure that I understand the question, but we will be having 4 raffle bins. 1 bin for the prioritized, the purchased IPN applications for which tickets have been purchased, 2nd for all other applications for which tickets have been purchased, 3rd bin for tickets, IPN tickets which have not been purchased, and 4th bin for other applications, non-IDN applications for which tickets have not been purchased. So essentially 4 queues which will be selected serially.
Thank you. I think we have a couple. I know we've ran over by 3 minutes, and there are a couple more questions here that we'll quickly go through. Are the CQs issued early in January or late in January?
Our intention is to release CQs as early in January as possible. But we will be issuing CQs on a daily basis. You know, beginning in January, we'll be releasing CQs throughout. It won't be once a month, once a week. They will be coming out, and you will be receiving them and notified of that through via the TAS system. I would encourage all attendees, if you do anticipate participating and arriving, attending the draw on the 17th, please register online, just like an ICANN meeting. We have the ability to register online. You'll be getting a badge. So please do that. That would help us greatly in anticipating the number of folks at the event. Also, if you have interest in, again, we're encouraging everyone to purchase the tickets as far in advance as possible. If you have a large number of tickets to purchase and that's something you want to coordinate, please feel free to contact the customer service center and we'll see how we can accommodate that as well.
Thanks, Christine. I think we have gone through all of the questions. I skipped over some questions that I thought were duplicative or that we have previously already answered. There's one question asking where the deck for the presentation could be downloaded, and that's on the webinar page of the microsite. So at this point, we're about 5 minutes over. Christine, do you have any last?
I hope that you all appreciate this is something we're taking very seriously. A lot of time and effort and thought have gone into the draw. You all know that I'm new to this team, so I realized that there is a role. All of you, you have this opportunity to question and challenge how we're doing things, and I understand and appreciate that and value that. But I want to assure you that we are putting our most diligent efforts to making sure that this draw is executed accurately, effectively, flawlessly. So thank you all. You know, we are in a state of continuous improvement. I'm hoping that this webinar you found to be improved from the last status update last month. I've seen some comments that folks would like to be notified further in advance. Absolutely, that's a very reasonable request. I think we've had some shifts in how we're communicating directly with applicants as well as the larger community. And I know for those of you who are in the process of these contact changes, it's particularly frustrating. So it is something we are taking heed of and we will be addressing. So thank all of you for participation and asking these questions so everyone can hear the answers. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. We'd like to thank you for your participation, and you may now disconnect.